Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 397th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by our Patreon. Score exclusive perks, content, and contests, including our NFL Wins Totals contest with a $1,000 prize. Join today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon. We're also brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app to get last-minute tickets at the lowest price guaranteed. Use promo code SGPN for $20 off.
Hi-ho, DeGenerinos, and welcome to episode 397 of the Sport MMA Gambling Podcast. I'm messing up again. MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm going to dedicate this to all of the prelim fighters last night, all the prelim winners, let's make that, last night at UFC and ESPN, Luque versus Dos Anjos. Not to the main card fighters, because that didn't make me look so hot in the end, but it did make my co-host look pretty good, because in the end, after my blazing start, he ended up pulling ahead at the end. I think it was like a tortoise in the hare situation last night. Let's bring him in. He's neither a tortoise nor a hare. He's a Gumby, though. He's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
Yeah, a couple of main card underdogs were yes. Barking for me, which was kind of nice. And ones that we actually should have been better. Like, let's talk about that. You know, I wound up 10-3, and you wound up 9-4, and all at the end of that. We both should have been one higher. It should have been 11-2 and 10-3 for you. Because that, man, dude, that, and it shouldn't put a damper on the night. Because not only did we predict so many of these fights right, we predict the way that they would be right. Like I said, Marcus McGee going to go out there and starch him in a round. You know, I said Luana.
Great knockout.
Yeah, I said Luana Santos. Everybody's got to watch it. I went back and listened because I was pretty sure I said something about her overhand right. And I was like, her overhand right is going to stun Juliana Miller. And sure enough, it did. You know, I said AJ Dobson's length is going to be too much for Tefon Chukwi, and he is going to gain momentum as the fight goes on. Dolgarian is a beast mode. Like, just like hit after hit after hit after hit. And then, like, in that fight, I felt like I dialed it up perfect. I was like, Hakeem Daoudou does not finish people. He might get hit hard a couple of times, but he's going to put better volume on him. He's going to win a decision. You know, my prop of the week was actually that it went to decision. So I got that right in the grand scheme of things. But then they read those cards, and I'm like, I called this fight so perfectly. And then to see, you know, and there were a couple of bet slips in the Discord where Daoudou was the missing piece. So that's like a huge bummer for all the bad beats in there. I don't get the slightest idea how you score that fight to Cub Swanson. Cub Swanson didn't score that fight for Cub Swanson.
No, it was almost, 99% a striking battle, and Daoudou outstruck him every round.
He's faster, volume and, which is what we thought.
Yeah, not just by volume, he was hurting him more. He had him limping. His shot seemed to be landing harder, yet he lost every round. If you go through the bunch of scorecards, a judge had Swanson winning at least every one of those three rounds because their scorecards were all over the map.
That's why. And don't get me wrong. I did give Swanson the third. And I think Swanson won the third because he knew he was down 2-0. You know,
yeah,
like
he swarmed at the end. It was basically his burst at the end that won it for him. Probably it wasn't the takedown, as dumb announcers would like to say. It was,
yeah, but like he went
for the finish.
Yeah, and he went for it, and that's what won him the fight, because he was like afraid he was about to lose a decision. He was sure he was about to lose a decision, and like he didn't. Which I mean, I don't know if it's good or bad that he thought he was gonna lose and did that swarm, but like, man, dude, that was a pretty wild scorecard.
It just makes no sense. That's the thing about it. I wouldn't even say it was a close fight. It wasn't a blowout fight, but it was not like it was pretty clear. Like Swanson got hurt in the first round, yet judges had him winning the first round. The first round was when he was limping bad, right? Cause he was getting his leg
right.
Laid up. Yeah. And then the second round was close. Yeah. Maybe you could give him Swanson the second round and maybe the third, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah, I would say if you did have to give Swanson a second round, obviously, like I said, the third, I think you could maybe try to justify giving him the second, because he landed that big right hand that seemed to wobble Daoudou for a second. But like, the thing about that is like, okay, he did land the one most impactful strike, but like, otherwise he was badly outstruck for the whole round. And like, just because one big punch seems to do a lot of damage, like, isn't enough to sway the whole round, in my opinion, or at least it shouldn't have been in this case. So, yeah, whoever gave Cub the first, though, needs to have their eyes checked.
Well, the first round he was limping and he got bloodied up, right? His nose got all busted up.
Correct.
And Ron McCarthy gave it to him, and Jacob Montalvo gave it. So two of the three judges gave him the first round.
But Talbot is one of those ones who refs and judges too, which is
right.
Man, that's, I don't have any faith in him at all.
You can't give him the first round.
No,
you just can't.
That's a bad scorecard.
Yeah, I wonder, because I thought Daoudou was a fellow Canadian, but when Joe Martinez said the pride of where's he from? Where's Cub from again?
South California.
Yeah, no, he said Palm Beach. Palm Springs. Yeah. Sorry, the pride of Palm Springs is like, wait a minute, because like that can't be him. Yeah, I was gonna, and like Daoudou's move, like I was, as I'm destroying my table here, I was just gonna skip through the decision because it was so clear cut, but apparently it wasn't. So, yeah, that really brought me down, and then the main event didn't go my way either. So I stayed.
That was at least a fun fight though. Both of them, yeah, actually, for that matter, they're both fun fights.
Fights I lose on aren't too much fun though, but anyhow, let's dive into the rest of the fights after I tell you about a new sponsor of ours. Exciting. Game Time is here. Game Time takes the stress out of buying tickets, because ticket buying, when I was a kid, ticket buying was like, you'd get on the phone and you'd have to call and like, you wouldn't be able to get through. And it was a hassle getting tickets and sporting events or concerts or whatever. And I'm sure it's still a hassle if you're a Taylor Swift fan and you try to get tickets online, but Game Time takes the stress out of that, because buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. Like, I checked the app today and they had Blue Jay tickets available as like 10 minutes before the game was going to start. Are they playing Boston? I think they're playing Boston, aren't they, Dan?
Not today. No? They're playing because Boston just beat Detroit. They're playing
the Cubs. They're playing the Cubs. Yes.
Yeah.
And I should have bought tickets because the Jays won 11-4. So I should have bought tickets from Game Time for that. So anyhow, I checked out the app. It's very cool. It shows you photos of where your seats are, which is another cool thing that they didn't have when I was a boy, let me tell you. So you can see exactly what type of view you have of the field or the stage or whatever you're going to. So that part is very cool on Game Time as well. Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals and tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Boom. Here's what you need to do. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Maybe you can get UFC Boston tickets, Dan.
You might be able to get UFC Boston. I mean, you're going to need them as cheap as possible when it comes to the prices I'm seeing for these things. Because, like, even though they've lost a fight or two, those prices not going down.
Yep, it is true. All right, last night they were in the Apex. Didn't have to worry about buying tickets for that. It was UFC and ESPN, Luque versus Dos Anjos. And the main event, I whiffed on Gumby Hit, a slight underdog here. That was one of his aforementioned dogs that he had. It was plus 105 when we locked him in on the show. Vicente Luque, very measured approach. It wasn't his berserker style. Maybe having your brain bleed changes your approach. Who knows? But he looked no worse for the wear after taking a year off and being having a serious injury there. He took care of RDA, Rafael Dos Anjos, my pick. 49-46, 48-47, 48-47. I was quite frustrated watching this fight because Dos Anjos seemed, and even the announcers, when the announcers mentioned how he was doing good in striking and, you know, he was landing some punches, he immediately would rush into a clinch situation or rush into trying to get a takedown. And he was losing, losing the grappling, losing the clinch battles. He was doing okay on the feet, but yet he decided he had to clinch and grapple as much as he could. Maybe that was a fatigue thing, as someone in the Discord mentioned. Maybe he is getting up there in years. Maybe a five-round fights at a super fast striking pace isn't something he can do anymore. But anyhow, it was frustrating for me. I'm sure Gumby had a better time watching it than I did.
You know, I just think it in general was a fun fight, because even when I was like, there are moments that RDA is making me sweat a little bit, because he's still, man, dude, I don't know how he still hits that hard at that age. I mean, I guess power is the last thing to go, but he's still pretty quick and strong at his age. Which is nuts to me, because anybody 170 pounds and under, they start getting to 38, 39 years old. And, you know, he was always a 155-pounder. So he's like a guy trying to save his career, moving up a weight class, damn near pushing 40, well past his prime. And the dude's still got it. You got to give it to him for being that hard of an out for Vicente Luque. And I will just say this, like, I'm really glad, and I know I've given this breakdown a while, when we've seen injuries or we've seen other people who had taken time off for various reasons. And I was just like, you have to pick based on what Luque has looked like in the past. And up until that knockout, he's looked good. And so, like, you just have to hope that same version of him is in there, that same good version. And that same good version showed up. And that's, like, really exciting to me. You always don't want to see, like, a deteriorated fighter in there. So, like, it's good that the old school Luque's in there. And, you know, there's still plenty of fun fights for him, even if you don't think he's got a title run in him.
Yeah, he probably doesn't. I wouldn't say at this point. But, hey, that's not every fighter in the UFC can have a title fight in him. He's still a fight night headliner worthy level fighter. So, he is back. I am not with that pick. We already talked about the co-main event. That was the Dawodu whiffing on that. Now, he's lost two straight and three or four. I assume they're going to keep him around, especially after that loss.
I think so, yeah.
maybe he should get more mean. If he's supposed to be mean, Hakeem, maybe he should, like, you know, really start finishing people. Or maybe he's not. Maybe he doesn't have that kind of power. Who knows?
I just think he doesn't have that kind of style. Like yeah. He doesn't sit down on his punches all that much.
Right.
So, like, he's not going for the knockout. It's the bigger thing.
Yep, it's true. Very true. Light heavyweights, we hit this one. Khalil Roundtree Jr. took care of Chris Daukaus. TKO punches. He didn't even hit him flush. Hit him with a jab. A pretty solid jab, 240 into the, well, about 230, we'll say, into the fight. And then finished him up on the ground. Daukaus took his gloves off, but there is no announcement that he has retired. We have Roundtree at minus 180. Roundtree is on a roll, let me tell you. I know that Roundtree on a roll sounds good. Maybe that will be the name of the episode. But yeah, he's on a roll. Daukaus is not. Daukaus probably should retire, since he seems to not be able to take a punch anymore. Even though he looked good in this fight. He was fast. His body looked good. But none of that matters if you can't take a punch.
Yeah, I do agree with you. I think it's probably time, after you've been knocked out four times in a row by, like, really hard punchers, to, like, really think about what you're doing here. At the very least, he needs a very long time off. Like, a very... Because that's four in about 20 months he's been knocked out viciously. And like, you know, like I said, these knockouts are cumulative. They build up on you. I'm also going to just buck what you said a little bit about Roundtree being on a roll. I know it's a win streak. He definitely lost to Justin Jacoby. Like, he definitely
Don't do revisionist history
and,
here.
And I love Khalil Roundtree. I love his story. I love all of the, like, nice things he says about, like, mental health awareness. Like, all that stuff is awesome. And then him winning that fight still bums me out.
You love beatdown hardcore music.
I still don't know what that is.
Neither do I really, but.
But with that being said, yeah, like he's going to get a big opponent for this win, right? Like, this is going to, I mean, like, you have to imagine he's going to get a top 10 guy, right?
Yeah, I would hope so.
You know, like, I'm looking at the rankings. You know, a lot of these guys are already booked, but like, I don't know if Nikita Krylov's got a dance partner, but like, him versus Nikita Krylov right now sounds pretty damn good to me.
He does deserve a step up for sure. I'm checking the I Do Performance rankings on the Substack. Make sure you subscribe, moneymma.substack.com. I'm checking where I have him after last night. Roundtree's up to sixth in light heavyweight because he's won four straight fights. So yeah, he's right in the Johnny Walker, Anthony Smith, Nikita Krylov range. So yeah, Krylov probably would be a good call, Gumby.
Yeah, he's way up the official rankings on him. But like, if you're going to put, I mean, I guess Volkan Ozdemir would be a good one too, but I'm pretty sure he's got a fight booked for Paris, if I'm not mistaken. So, although maybe the timeframes will work out on that. Somebody of that stature would be really great for him.
Yeah. Krylov's got nothing. Ozdemir is fighting in about 3 weeks against Azmat Mirzakhanov in Paris, like you said.
Although I think didn't Mirzakhanov pull out of that fight?
Maybe this is,
and now he's fighting.
Yes, you're right. Yeah,
Bogdan Guskov. Yeah,
yes,
newcomer.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so yeah, anyhow, Roundtree, on the way up, Daukaus. We're if he doesn't retire, we're cutting him, right?
We're either cutting him or soup. I mean, we've always said you get two cracks at a new weight class. And like, it almost seems crazy that they'd give him another one here. But if they give him anybody who throws a powerful punch, anybody in that light heavyweight division who throws with heat, like, fade him.
Yep, it is true. We didn't fade Pollyanna Viana. Maybe we should have. She didn't look so hot last night against Yasmin Lucindo, women's strawweight fight. Lucindo, I think maybe we were downplaying her as well. Or at the very least, she's improved because she looked good last night. Arm triangle choked. Viana basically was done by that point. Could barely tap out.
She quit in the second round. Yeah, she quit.
Yeah. So we should have followed what people say in the Discord. You don't bet on the baddies, but we did bet on the baddies in a few fights, and he came through. But anyhow, you don't bet on the baddies, and the baddie lost here. And Yasmin Lucindo came through.
You know what I think we misjudged in this fight is just how freaking strong Yasmin Lucindo is. Because I went back and watched that fight because I was like, why did I have such a bad read on Pollyanna Viana? This being one of only two fights I missed. And the other one I said I was just, you know, taking a crap shot at a big underdog. So like, I went back and watched that one. And after the first grappling exchange with Yasmin Lucindo, Viana looked scared. And I think she just felt how strong Yasmin Lucindo was and was like, oh, shit, this is going to be a lot harder than I think it is. And then she ate a big, heavy punch in there, too. And I think she was like, well, where do I go now? Because being in the clinch with her and being on top of her, she's stronger than me and is going to tire me out. And so then, like, I think she started looking for a way out, and then she found it. So I think both Viana and us underestimated the pure strength of Lucindo, and it clearly came back to bite both of us.
Yep, Lucindo looked good, and she wants Karolina Kowalkiewicz next. I just saw that headline.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Sure, why not? All right. I missed in this one. Gumby hit it. I didn't know Tefan Inchuku was going to come in fat, and he came in over late. 189.5.
You're surprised that dude missed weight?
He came through. AJ Dobson came through 29-28 across the board over in Chukwi. Gumby had him as a underdog. Dobson, a big one, plus 125.
You know, Tefan made his pro debut at heavyweight.
Yeah. He's a big guy.
He's a big dude. And I'm
smaller, but not small enough.
Yeah. And I just think in general, too, and this is probably why he's made his way all the way down to middleweight at this point in time, is I think the way he fights and the way he's got a long reach. If you look at it on paper, right, it's 77 inches on paper, but like, it's not functional reach. It's all chest. It's like with Brock Lesnar had the greatest reach in the UFC. It was like, yeah, but he's got these like little stubby arms and they measure all the way across your chest. And that dude has got like, you know, an entire door frame's worth of a chest. So like, I think Tapon Chukwi just like fights like a short guy, and that's going to be a lot of trouble with a lot of these long middleweights. And props to AJ Dobson for the way he fought him too, because like, you know, he could have gone in there and gotten his chin checked, but instead he did a great job of managing range. So I'm actually a lot higher on Dobson after that fight. He looked pretty damn good.
He saved his UFC career with that win. And Chukwi is going to be out the door now. That's three straight losses and 4 out of 5. And it is contender series season. So
it's losing to a guy who is on a 2-fight losing streak. And, yeah. And he's lost 4 out of his last 5. And his only win is against the guy who was no longer in the UFC.
Pile it on, dude.
And he missed weight. And his pro record is 6-4. Yeah, yeah, like he's gone.
Missing weight. Yeah, yeah. Missing weight. I forgot about that. That is definitely the final nail. Sorry. Hey, we're not cheering for it. We're just stating facts. We are cheering for the Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon, though. Sign up for the Patreon to get access to exclusive contests, including the NFL Win Totals contest with a $1,000 first place prize. Besides season-long contests, they also have weekly contests just for the Patreons, plus a monthly SGP Stories podcast, completely ad-free and full of behind-the-scenes stories from SGPN. There is even a Discord channel just for patrons. Only you can prevent corporate gambling. Do your part and sign up today, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. And to conclude the main card, another fighter who missed weight, 189. For a 185-pound fight, Josh Framd actually won his fight, and we're in on him. So this shows Jamie Pickett is not up to snuff. We're cutting him as well. Jamie Pickett lost 30-27 across the board to Josh Framd. And I think that's like, what, 4 straight losses for Pickett or something ridiculous? Like 5 straight, maybe?
Four straight. 6-8. And his only 2 wins were decision wins over guys who aren't in the UFC anymore. I don't know why they were so hyped on this guy, because they brought him back for Contender Series 3 times.
Yep.
He got beat by Charles Byrd in the first one, who wound up not being like all that great in the UFC. Then he got beat by Puna Soriano, who's kind of, you know, maybe that win aged a little less good. And then he beat Jonathan Potty, who's an 8-6 pro. He doesn't even have like a good, real particularly good record. And then they were like, yeah, sign us up for more Jamie Pickett. And then he got knocked out by Jordan Wright. Like, it's kind of weird that they're as high on him and he's gotten as many chances as he has, but that one should be the last one.
Yep. Anything to say about Framd?
I mean, like, yeah, he did the things he was supposed to do to beat a guy like that.
-333 we got on him. So when he went 2-4 on the main card, the main card really sunk my night. Gumby went 4-2. So it was a flip of fortunes, and that's what helped Gumby pull through in the end. All right, prelims. This is where I smoked everything. Bantamweight main event, Marcus McGee took care of JP Bies, bent him in half with a knockout punch, 219 in the first round. Didn't want to follow up, but the ref almost made him follow up, even though it would have been hard to punch Bies in the position he was in. He was like folded in half, like a letter A. So anyhow, good win for McGee. McGee's looking like a very solid fighter.
Yeah, I wish he wasn't a prospect at 33. You know what I mean? Like
he looks twice that age. Yeah.
He looks twice that age because I found out he has 4 kids. So that'll do it. Yeah,
that's right. He does.
He's got a boatload of kids. But yeah, no, he's looked amazing in his 2 fights in the UFC. I hope he gets a big step up in competition. Also, I went back and watched that stoppage. That stoppage was weird because if you go back and you watch it, he lands the big shot. Bays goes down. He's like, I'm not going to punch him again. And the ref actually steps in. I don't know if you see this. The ref steps in and he pushes Marcus McGee in the chest to like get away from JP Bays, which I think in the original angle, you can't really see that. Like, it just looks like the ref is just like kind of close, but he actually pushes him in the chest. And then he doesn't wave his hands until Bays gets up and like headbutts the cage. And then he's like, oh, this is over. And it's like, yeah. Gee, man, thanks. Like, I mean, McGee has been telling us it was over for a while. So, yeah, weird stoppage, weird fight. But yeah, McGee is clearly the real deal at bantamweight. If he and Mario Bautista hadn't trained at the same gym, I'd be signing him up for the Cody Garbrandt replacement at UFC 292.
Right. Yeah. So that was Herb Dean was probably at the side of the cage clapping that stoppage. That was a Herb Dean special. Jump in, jump out, jump in, jump out. Don't stop it. Kind of stop it. Yeah. Classic Dean. All right. Terrence McKinney did what he had to do and what we hoped he would do. Just blitzed Mike Breeden. Mike Breeden, not on this level. Oh, JP Bias. He's out of here as well. Dan, we're firing lots of people today.
He's 0-4. Am I wrong?
Yeah, he's gone. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, Mike Breeden has now, he's 0-3 in the UFC. He's gone, and he did not look on this level last night.
He was also 0-1 on Contender Series.
Yeah, McKinney blitzed him 125 into the first round, took care of him, we didn't learn anything about this. McKinney got a payday and got the losing taste out of his mouth, but that's pretty much all that happened.
Yeah, he looks like Terrence McKinney does. Really freaking good in round one. But it's also worth noting, somebody on this podcast had Terrence McKinney by first round knockout as his prop of the week.
Not knockout, but yeah, first round finish. Yes.
Oh, minus 150. That's right. Because we kept the submission in there too.
Right. Yep. Yes. A big minus 150 for a very specific prop. Featherweights, Isaac Dalgarian, he made us look like geniuses. Actually, I just tailed Gumby on this one. So he made Gumby look like more of a genius than normal. Took care of Francis Marshall, TKO elbows, 440 in the first round. He took him down, and then he was not complacent on the ground. He really grounded out that win. Just pounded Francis Marshall out. 130, we had him at plus 138.
Yeah, I was all over his wrestling and ground and pound here. And also to do that to Francis Marshall, who's a decent wrestler in his own right. Man, I think Dalgarian is going to be a problem for people at featherweight.
Hopefully, yeah. He looked very good last night. So this is the baddies that we bet on and came through. Martin Baddies Boudet at heavyweight took care of Josh Prezin. Kimura, 4-11 into the first round. Prezin, we're firing him as well, Dan. We don't want to see him anymore here. We have Boudet at minus 218.
I don't think you can fire him. I think he's got something on Dana White, much like Jim and Chase Sherman.
I guess he's only lost 2 straight at heavyweight. That's no big deal. And 3 of 4. That'll keep you around, actually.
4 of 6, and his only 2 wins are against guys who've been fired. A split with Roque Martinez and a TK over Alan Baudot. And lost. And he got his face humped by Dontel Mays.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about the face humping. Yeah,
you probably should have quit at that point. Like anybody humps your face in a fight, you probably should just let it lay the gloves down.
Basically, yeah, we didn't learn anything from this fight either.
Maybe Baddies goes for it. When Baddie goes for it, he's a bad man.
Yeah, that's true. He's a Baddies man.
Because like when he was throwing punches on the feet and hurting them and getting after it, and he doesn't always do that.
That's true. It is depressing that in the year of our Lord 2023, still like a large chunk of the UFC heavyweight weight class are just out of shape light heavyweights and out of shape middleweights. And middleweights. Like a lot of these guys could be cut down to middleweight, like Jerry Cannonier. So that's, I don't know. You would have thought the sport would have progressed at this point, but no, I guess not. All right, women's strawweights. Jacqueline Amarin, I didn't give up on her. Gumby did. I guess you had to pick Montserrat Ruiz because she
she's my girl.
she's your girl. Jacqueline Amarin made her girl last night. TKO elbows and punches. 3:41 in the third round. She dominated this whole fight on the ground. What we were hoping to see from her to begin with, we had her at minus 238. No, yeah. I had her. Excuse me. I had her at minus 238.
Montserrat, I'm still profitable on betting on Montserrat Ruiz, by the way. If I put $100 on Montserrat Ruiz in every single one of her fights, I'd have a 33% return on investment at the current moment. So I appreciate all she's done for me. But with that being said, it does feel really good that Amorim is exactly what we thought she was, in that debut was just a blip on the radar. It's good to see both her and Bruna Brazil, who are both so high on and then look so terrible in their debuts, like figure it out. Because that's what they both did. They both figured it out.
And I said, I was saying her name wrong. It was Jacqueline Amarim. It kind of rhymes. All right. Yeah. She looked really good. So looking forward to her, especially at strawweight, she can eat up some people with her strength on the ground. One thing we did mention, didn't like, how she is too confident in her jiu-jitsu that she's willing to, like, you know, be on her back and pull guard and stuff like that.
That's gonna screw her if she fights somebody like you know, like Kanako Murata or something like that, somebody who's just outside of the top 15 but also like is a beast mode wrestler. And there's quite a few really nice wrestlers, even as you get into the rankings, but even before that, and if she's just like comfortable being on the bottom, she's going to lose to a lot of them.
Yep. So hopefully she fixes that up. This one went well as well. These all went well for me. What am I saying? Bantamweights, Damon Blackshear, submission, a twister, only the third twister ever, 3:47 to the first round over Jose Johnson. We had Blackshear minus 175. We didn't see a twister coming, though.
No, we thought maybe a finish, though. And he looked good. And like I said to Jose Johnson, he looks like he's made real improvements in his grappling game. But, you know, he just hasn't made those kinds of leaps yet. And he was doing this on short notice. So, like, even if he made it out of that position, that dude was going to be wiped from that first 3 or 4 minutes there. So, yeah, Blackshear seems like he's a decent prospect. Again, short notice, Jose Johnson, maybe we don't put too much stock into it, but like, I don't know, maybe he's a little better than we think he is.
Maybe. We shall see. And then in the opener, Luana Santos did what
crushed
we hoped
it.
She would do.
Crushed
Juliana, it. Juliana Miller did what we expected her to do. Looked horrible on the feet. We're cutting her as well. TKO, she got TKO punches. She was flailing, doing the... Actually, she was making that person who is champ. Everyone makes fun of her striking. What's her name again? She's really annoying. Jessica. Not Jessica.
What the hell?
She knocked out Amanda Nunes.
Forget Juliana Pena.
Juliana Pena. Yeah, she was doing the Juliana. Juliana Miller was doing the Juliana.
You know, she was on. I know you don't watch The Ultimate Fighter anymore. You know she was on Team Juliana Pena, right?
Oh, well, that makes total sense then, because she's striking like her last night.
Yeah, and they're both insufferable.
There you go. You don't like Killer Miller either?
Oh, no, she was... I didn't find her personality particularly fun on The Ultimate Fighter. She was not a compelling character to me. But with that being said, I also just don't think she's like UFC level yet. And I think they did a disservice in that season of The Ultimate Fighter in that they found a bunch of like 3-1 and 2-1 and 4-0 women to fight. Like Claire Guthrie is an okay prospect, but she needs like 4 or 5 more fights in Invicta. And, you know, like Brogan Walker was like by far the most experienced person on that season. And even she needed more seasoning before she could go to the UFC. And so like, they just found so many women who you were like, oh, well, you know, her grappling looked really good in the house. And like, it was immediately clear to me she couldn't be any flyweight in the UFC. Like there's not a single flyweight I would pick Juliana Miller over, and like probably a handful of Invicta ones I would not pick her over. And so like to just force her into the UFC at 3-1, because like there wasn't a good crop of people who signed up for the Ultimate Fighter. I mean, like I think they did her and the show a disservice in that season. Because yeah, she's not ready for this level. And that's not to say she might not be one day, but she's not now.
You're out of here. We're firing you. We fired lots of people down. We're not very nice here.
But I think they should fire her a la Kay Hansen. So like when they let Kay Hansen go, it was like, it was in Kay Hansen's best interest. You know, like if I was Kay Hansen's manager at that point, I would be like, hey, let's go talk to the UFC, see if we can keep you under contract and also go fight 2 or 3 in Invicta before we figure this out. Because like just watching you get smoked by a 5-1 newcomer who's so clearly better than you, is just like, it's not going to work. It's not going to help you develop. And also just like all of the things she was, Daniel Cormier, just like running off all of the things she said to him fight week. She's like, my striking has gotten so much better, and it might have. But that shows how far it had to come. You know what I mean?
Yep. So that concludes the event. Started off so great for me. It didn't end so well. I went 9-4. Gumby went 10-3. But we both made money on our $100 in every bet picks. I won a little over 100. Gumby won 390 almost. So on the year, I'm at 58%. You're at 55. I am $600 ahead of you. So there you go.
And we're still time, though. And we both hit our locks. And we both hit our props. Both hit
our locks. McGee inside the distance was Gumby's. Santos was mine.
I even picked a prop for my lock.
I know. He's so arrogant. We both whiffed on Vienna. He had Swanson Dabadoo decision at plus money, plus 100. I had McKinney round one, which was only minus 150, sadly. And we got half of the, well, you got half of the Hungry Man Jong, as per usual. Santos inside the distance. Baddies, Boudet did not get a decision victory.
I hit the hard part.
That was a bad call.
375. I hit the hard part of that one.
It's true. So that is the event. We had no fight of the night. We had four performance winners. Khalil Roundtree Jr., Yasmin Lucindo, Marcus McGee, Damon Blackshear were the winners.
Hot take.
We got a big event.
Hot take. Great, great finishes all the way across the card. Really hard to pick people who won. I'm taking Lucindo off there. I'm putting Isaac Dalgarian on there. Like, not that Lucindo's performance wasn't good, but she had an opponent like quit on her and like she just tired her out. And like Dalgarian absolutely crushed his opponent, like broke his cauliflower ear open, like mean ground and pound, beast mode wrestler. He was also, I don't think we talked about this during the fight, and I don't mean to go back to one. He took him down and then he like picked his body up and dragged it to the center of the cage, being like, no, you're not using the cage on me. I don't think so. And then beat the crap out of him in the middle of the cage. Like that's a high level performance. That dude deserved 50K.
Yep, it is true. And he could use 50K too. Anyhow,
let's
Oh, does he?
Yeah, he said in.
Oh, yeah, I skipped a lot of the. Oh, yeah, really?
No, okay. I interviewed him this week. He's living in an RV.
Coming up.
He's living in an RV because he moved to Factory X when Glory MMA was in all the trouble, and he was about to make his debut, and he's like, I need to be training in a high level gym. And so like he left where Glory was because he was like, I don't even know if I'm gonna be able to train here. So he went to Factory X with like kind of no place to live, and his girlfriend's a fighter too, Alexa Culpa. She's from Invicta. And so they went to Factory X to both train there now that they left Glory. And he was supposed to make his UFC debut in January. And he's like, cool, this will pay for our housing and all that kind of stuff. And then he tore his knee training with Brandon Royval. And so like the paycheck that was going to pay for their rent for the next like 6 to 8 months, just gone. And then suddenly he like they didn't have any money. So like they got an RV and they're living like basically in the Factory X parking lot.
Yeah, it's not a glamorous life to be a fighter, even if you're in the UFC. A lot of these people are barely getting by. We got some people making decent money coming up this week, UFC 2, because it's a pay-per-view. UFC 292, Sterling versus O'Malley. If an insufferable personality like Sean O'Malley doesn't make Aljamain Sterling more popular. I don't know. I guess no one will, right? This is it's a lost cause if people still don't like Aljamain Sterling after going up against this guy.
They will hate him. They will hate him more for beating him. Yeah. Like,
yes. So yeah, that is actually, this pay-per-view is a bit of a flux because we have lost a lot of fights. Here's what we have currently. Aljamain Sterling versus Sean O'Malley in the main event for the bantamweight UFC bantamweight championship. Co-main event, Zhang Weili, the champion at women's strawweight versus Amanda Lemos. And then we have Ian Machado Gary versus the last minute replacement, Neil Magny. Marlon Vera versus Pedro Munhoz. Chris Weidman versus Brad Tavares.
That one's weird to break down.
we'll find out in a few days. Gregory Hobocop. Rodriguez versus Dennis Tuiluilin. Austin Hubbard, Kurt Hollibaugh. Oh, that is an Ultimate Fighter tournament finale. I was going to say Kurt Hollibaugh's back, but yeah.
He is, He actually demolished Jason Knight in the semifinal he was in. He looked really good.
Andre Petroski, our boy, fighting in his backyard, basically, right? Against Gerald Mearshart. Andrea Lee, Natalia Silva, Kareen Killer Silva, and Marina Moroz, and then Mario Bautista versus TBA, who gets a lot of fights.
I think I have a pitch for TBA here. I hope they give it to Fumi Nakuta. Fumi Nakuta is a flyweight, but if he's going to take it on short notice against a bantamweight, that makes all the sense in the world. He's Aljamain Sterling's teammate. He's 6-0. He's coming off of a win like 2 weeks ago. And he's just like super fun on the mic and crazy fast. He'd be a great last second fill-in.
All right, there you go. I know the UFC listens. For sure they listen. So that's what we're going to be stuffing your ear holes on Wednesday and Thursday. It will be prelims on Wednesday and then main card and fancy picks on Thursday. Until then, we shall be in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. Where else shall we be? We'll be on Twitter, or Gumby will at least be there running our account at SGPNMMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. That's my handle on Instagram as well. I got my Substack. I told you about moneymma.substack.com. I will be running a pick'em this coming week for UFC 292. And Gumby's got the Top Turtle MMA podcast, where you can hear a lot of the contender series people that we're going to be breaking down over the coming weeks on, along with UFC people and whatnot. Right, Gumby?
Yeah, I got another one this week for you.
Another one.
Yeah, we got the aforementioned Kurt Hollibaugh is going to be on the show this week, as well as Matteo Vogel, who will be on Contender Series week. I think he's week 4.
Fantastic. And then everything good in these spaces at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. And obviously, check out the Patreon, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right, we'll be back in a few hours, in a few minutes, actually, depending on when you listen to this, because we have a Contender Series to break down. Week 2 of the Contender Series. It will be me breaking down the Midwest Choppa, Jeff Fox, and of course, T-Rex, Gumby Vreeland will be along my side as well. Adios.